lot of our young people are off at family camp this week, and so we pray for them while they're there and hope they'll have a safe trip back. When are they coming back to? Okay. All right. We're always glad they come back, just so excited about their family camp. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7. Second Kings chapter 7, starting with verse 3. Now they were four lepers, men, at the entrance of the gate, and they said one to the other, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and if we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die." And they rose at twilight and went to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord has caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said one to the other, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. And they said one to the other, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and called to the gatekeeper of the city and told him, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied and the tents intact." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much you allowed us to be here today. And Lord, we just ask you to bless our hearts now. Ask that the Holy Spirit open up our eyes to our understanding, that we might see what you'd have for us today. For we come here today, Lord, every one of us have different problems, different needs. And Lord, we don't know how the devil is attacking some, but I know he's there. And Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit fill us today, that we might just see what you want us to see. And God, we give you praise, for it's in your name we ask it. Amen. If I asked you what the difference was between a feast and a famine, your response probably would be food. There's food. Yet, in one sense, you would say it's faith too. But there's even a greater difference between the feast and famine and faith. Now, in our text, Israel is shut up inside a city, and they were under siege of the Syrian army, and their supplies were very, very low. Matter of fact, they were cut off. All around the city, there's enemies there. They've just decided to sat there until they starved the Israel country away. There's no way out. They're in a desperate situation. There wasn't any flight to run off with. It was impossible for them to get out of that city. There's no food. There's no water. There's nothing. They're in a sad situation. No hope as they saw it in their life. You see, Israel had forgotten two things. You know, it seems like we always forget about God, don't we? We serve a mighty God. And Israel had forgotten how mighty God was. And then they had the right to believe God for a miracle. I believe we have a right to believe God for great things in our life. God wants to bless us. He wants us to have an abundant life. He doesn't want us to have not any joy in life. Some people think, well, since you're a Christian, you can't have any fun. I have a lot of fun. I don't know about you. But I enjoy being around you. I enjoy being around my church. I enjoy being around my Christian brothers. And our God is a God who does the impossible. I love the scripture we read, for the Bible says he sent an invisible angelic army and the Syrians ran. They left everything behind. Can you imagine that? A great army like this, they left their food behind, they left their money behind, they left their donkeys and horses behind. They left everything just because God sent a noise. Now, these four lepers were sitting outside the gate. Now, keep this in mind. In the Old Testament, miracles are like New Testament parables. And there's a story for us in this parable here, this story here. There's a heavenly meaning for us to see. And I want you to look today at these four things. One is the soul that requires salvation. Now think about it. The soul that requires salvation. The nation of Israel was in trouble, folks. There in Samaria, it's completely closed around, yet they don't have anything to eat in there. Now, evidently, they didn't have Walmarts to run to. And if you run down to Walmart, we're talking about on television, you may not find a lot of things that you need. Did anybody in here, you'd have to be pretty old probably, go through the Great Depression? No, we're too young, aren't we? But you heard about it, didn't you? It was a Great Depression back years ago. My grandmother went through it. She wouldn't throw anything away. They figured one day they'd need that and they'd have it. I never will forget the old jars that she had canned with, all this old food. And she'd put it out there on shelves and I said, "Mama, if you eat that stuff, it's going to kill you." And she said, "No, honey, it's good." And she'd open the jar and I saw, you know, that stuff got mold on it. And she'd just break that off and it's still good. I thought, man, antibiotics, whatever. Penicillin, man, she had it, I guess. You know? This would make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic, folks. Now think about that. This would make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. They were hungry people in that town. Look at verse 25 of chapter 6. It's right back there, everyone. It's probably on the same page. "And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cap of dove's droppings for 5 shekels of silver." Folks, that's bad. That is real bad. They were so bad that they were selling donkey's heads. Can you imagine driving up to the window and saying, "Give me a donkey head burger." "Oh, cut the dove droppings. I don't have that much money." You know, $50 for a piece of donkey heads. Man, that was bad, wasn't it? Things were bad, but let me tell you something. They got worse. They got worse. They were practicing cannibalism. A woman comes to the king. Look at verse 26. Then as the king of Israel was passing on the wall, a woman cried to him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or the wine press?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" Now listen to what's happened. And she answered, "This woman said to me, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." Folks, that's bad. "So we boiled my son and ate him." Folks, that's worse than anything we've ever seen with our eyes. Back in 2002 or something like that, Brother Dan was with me, and we went down to Haiti. I started to say back to Haiti, but I'm not going back. The Lord's willing that I don't want to go back down there. I don't want to go back down there. That was the most depressing. It was something that I'm glad I got to go and see, but I don't want to see it again. There were piles of rubbish as high as this ceiling in the streets, and little old kids, like our little kids, digging through that old stinking rubbish. And let me tell you, it did stink. But they were looking for something to eat. Old cabbage, rotten cabbage, man, they pick it up, they would eat. They were looking for something just to fill their bellies. They were hungry. Man, that was a sad situation, but it's not as bad as this situation. They were eating their own children. I heard of an old man and his wife. They were pretty well broke, and they were out of food. And they had three apples. He sat down and looked at the apple, and it had a hole in it. He held it up to the light and says, "Honey, this thing got a worm in it." He threw it over his shoulder. Picked up another one, held it up to the light, says, "Honey, this one's got a worm in it." He threw it over his shoulder. He picked another one up and started. She said, "Turn out the lights and eat." Well, we know about a worldwide famine. We've seen over the last few days how a panic has struck America, and how this pandemic has crossed the oceans in just about every country. But God's still in charge, folks. I believe that with all my heart. There is a worldwide famine in this part of the land. And did you know there's a worldwide famine today in our world? Over one half of the world will go to bed hungry tonight. We're storing up food and all of this. Man, there's people all over the world that are literally starving to death. We saw that in Haiti, and we saw it in Kenya, and we saw it in Zambia. Little kids hungry for food. That's the situation here. The prophet Amos said, "Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not of bread, nor a thirst for water, but for hearing the word of God." Folks, we're in a famine today of hearing the word of God. People do not like to hear the word of God. I have been told that we shouldn't preach on hell because there's not a hell. I don't know where they get that out of the word of God. I've been told we shouldn't preach on sin because people don't want to hear about sin. Well, there's a famine in our world today of hearing what the Bible really says. Because we as a people want to live life our way. We don't want to hear what God has to say. And I believe we're in a famine here in America. Maybe this has been sent to us to wake us up. You see? And yet today I don't think they're hearing. I don't think we open our ears to what God is trying to hear. We want to be satisfied by somebody will tell us, oh, don't worry about it. You live a good life. You'll end up in heaven. Not so. That's not what the Bible says. Oh, just live your life, and just as long as you don't bother anybody else, you'll be all right. Not so. You see, our world is satisfied today with silver and success and sports, but not God. Augustine wrote, "The heart is restless, and it will not find rest until it finds God." Now, folks, these lepers were hungry. They were very hungry. And I believe we need to, if we're lost here this morning, we need to hear the Word of God. We need to be hungry for the Word of God. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in that lostness, I don't know, you may be saved. I hope you are. But there may be someone that's lost and don't know Jesus Christ today. Oh, I wish I could get them to come before it's too late. But if you're hungry today for the Word of God, listen to the Word of God. You're like these lepers. You're sitting there and you're not going to heaven unless you come to Christ, unless you do something. They saw they were in a desperate situation. Listen to it. Why are we sitting here until we die? They were sitting there. You know what? They would eat the scraps of the people that threw the scraps over the wall. They couldn't come into the city, but they were doing pretty good, I guess, eating scraps that were thrown over the wall. But inside the wall now, there's nothing to eat. Donkey's heads, dove droppings, children. Imagine their condition on the outside of the wall. That's a sad case, isn't it? They were hungry. We've got to be hungry for the Word of God in our land today. Not only that, look at what it says. They were completely helpless. Money was no help. All the donkey burgers you wanted is not going to be helpful to you. Their influence. Think about it. This king was also hungry. He said to the lady, "Lady, if your God doesn't do for you, how do you think I can?" The government, it's not going to do anything for you. Only God can take care of what you need in life. I thank God that He has blessed me through the years. You know, Rhonda and I have been blessed through the years. Someone said, "Well, did you know it was going to be bad when you started the ministry?" Yes, I knew it. But I also knew that God was going to walk with me. And He was going to help me. And He was going to take care of me. And I've always just wanted what God wanted me to have. And God has blessed us, folks. By faith, we trusted Him. And by faith, we must come to salvation this morning. I can remember when I got saved. Man, I was in church. I was doing all the right things. I just wasn't saved. And listening to the gospel, I realized my sinful condition. I realized I was helpless. I could do nothing on my own. If I was ever going to get saved, it had to be through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, many think you don't need God, but let me tell you something. When you come to death's door, you need God. All the money in the bank is not going to help you get into heaven. All the influence, only God can help you. Don't find that out too late. Only God can help you find out what you need. The Bible says God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. I don't know about you, but we have all kinds of troubles. I thank God He's with me through those troubles. Not only were they hungry and helpless, in verse 30 you see that they were hopeless. When a man would tear his clothes and put sackcloth under them on his body, boy, that was a sign that he was desperate. And the Bible says the king had sackcloth. You see, all hope was gone. They were just simply sitting there inside the city with the Syrian army around them, waiting to die. If they didn't starve to death, the army would close in and kill them. Their condition was really hopeless in their life. Paul said in Ephesians 2:12 that at the time you were without Christ, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. As I look at our nation today, and I know we live in the greatest nation of all, but our nation really needs salvation. We need Christ in our nation again. We need Christ in our people again. It's going to start when God's people, which are called by His name, will get right with God. And they really have a revival. The soul that requires salvation. Romans 3:23, we talked about it in our Sunday school class. Salvation. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every one of us had sin in our life. We were in a sinful condition and we were hopeless without Christ. We were bound for that lostness. Then I want you to see something else. The saint that receives salvation. These four lepers had a decision to make. Were they going to sit outside the wall and starve to death, or were they going to do something about their situation? That's the way a lost person is today, isn't it? We hear the word of God. We know that God offers salvation, but are we going to step out and receive it? That's a choice you have to make. That's a decision in your life to make. I remember it was a great decision in my life because I was torn. The old devil on one side had me, and the Lord had been working on the other side. And finally, I didn't get saved just real quick. Man, I fought for a while. But finally, I asked God to come into my life. And He did. Oh, the moment by faith I stepped out, He came into my life. Man, that was the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. I went from a famine to a feast with Christ Jesus. I went from rags to riches in Christ Jesus. You see, the Bible says we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I am a king in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God in Christ Jesus. We stepped out and went forward for Christ. Now look what happened. They made a decision. They said, well, we can sit here or we can die, starve to death. Or we can go into the camp. And perhaps those people will have mercy on us and feed us and we'll live. If not, what are they going to do? They're going to kill us. And if they kill us, well, we're going to die here. At least it'll be a quick death. So they made a decision, folks. And when they stepped out and went out at the twilight, you know what they found? That God had made a noise. I love that. All God has to do is just make a noise. And this great army fled. You see, the victory was inside the people all along. All they had to do is trust God for it. And they did. Those four lepers stepped out and found everything. All you have to do this morning, if you're lost, is step out by faith and come to Jesus Christ. You'll find that He's already provided that great salvation for you in His Son, Jesus Christ. He paid the price for you that you might have life, that you might have it abundantly. That's all He wants. He said, I came to this world to seek and to save those which are lost. If you're lost, all you have to do is come to Him today and receive that great salvation. Now look at verses 3 and 4. They deliberated about going. Oh, we could play it safe. I've had people say, preacher, I started to come down, but you know, I just decided to wait till next week. Maybe there won't be so many people there that I have to step out and come down in front. I don't know. But if they had waited, they would have died. And folks, let me tell you something. People die every day. Just because you're here this morning doesn't mean that you're going to be here next week. You can be here today and not be here next week. Young or old, it doesn't matter. Death comes, it's going to get you. Do you know what they had to do in order to die? Absolutely nothing. You know what you have to do today to die and go to hell without Christ? Absolutely nothing. You just sit there in your comfortable pew and you say, well, I can't make that decision today. Well, you're making a decision, whether you know it or not. If you choose to sit there in your lostness and you die, you will never have an opportunity to go to heaven. And there's people that need to be saved every single day. I don't know about you, but inside our family, I know there's people that are lost. Oh, I hope they come. I pray the Lord would let me talk to them. I hope they receive Christ as the Lord and Savior. But listen, you have to make a choice today. You have to find it today. You have to think for yourself. Well, I'm not sure if I can live up to it. You can't live up to it. Quit trying. Just turn loose and let God do it. You see, we can't, but God can through us. Now that was their deliberation. Should we take off and go out to the Syrian camp? Look at their decision. In verses 5 through 7, they arose at twilight and went out to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. You know, if they had set that gate and done nothing, they would have missed out on all the blessings. Man, they would have missed out on all the blessings. I never read this, but until the other day, I'd read it, but it never clicked with me. When these lepers, listen what happened. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. There was all the food they ever wanted was right there in one tent. Man, I don't know how much food these Syrians had, but let me tell you something. It fed four lepers. It had more silver and gold than they could want, and they took it out and hid it, and then they went into another tent and probably found the same thing. If you read on down, they found the clothes of these soldiers and the horses and the chariots. They left everything. They just run off and left everything. They were so scared. But these lepers would have never found that if they had not decided to get up and go. You see, it's not enough to decide that you're lost. You must decide that you're coming to Christ, you see. You can know that you're lost, but if you don't do anything about it, you'll remain lost. You've got to decide, I want to step out and trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. So they got up, they stepped out, they walked down, they went in, and they made that fantastic discovery. I grew up in a little town, And there's no man that lived down below us. He's our neighbor. They had enough land and wealth that they could be taken care of. He was a man who worked all his life. I mean, worked hard all his life. His wife died. He raised his children. And he worked. Before he died, he told somebody one day at the post office. Old men sit there and meet at the post office and play dominoes. He said, you know, I've never seen this great country of ours. Never went any further than probably Jacksonville. He just didn't go nowhere. Always afraid he couldn't, but everybody died except him. And you know what he did? He said, you know, for once in my life, I'm going to do something. And all by himself, he bought him a train ticket. And he rode an Amtrak train clean across and back across America to see this great country. I was so proud of Orrin. An old man decided finally, I'm going to do something. I'm going to get up. One of the finest Christian guys you'd ever meet. You know, he'd have never saw America in the mountains. He didn't know about the mountains in Colorado. He didn't know any of that, you know. Didn't know all about the fruit and the vegetables out in California and Oregon. He'd have missed all of that in his lifetime if he hadn't have done something. So sometimes just our inactivity causes us to miss the blessings God has for us. And God has something very special for you. Many people are like Mr. Wade. They just decide to get up and make it through the day. Never trust God for anything. Wouldn't you trust Him by faith today to receive His blessings on your life? Greatest thing you can do. Look at their delight. It was all by the Lord. They didn't do anything. The Lord caused a great noise. The Lord provided the food. They didn't deserve all of that. But they decided they would step out. And they said, you know, this is all ours, a fortune that God has provided. Let me tell you something. God paid the price with His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. When He died on the cross, He said, it is finished. That salvation plan for you, the blood of Jesus Christ for you, died on the cross for you. He paid the price for you that you could have eternal life with Him forever and ever. But like so many people, they sit there and they never receive the blessings. It's free. It don't cost you a thing. It costs Christ everything. But He said, if you by faith will step out and come to Him and receive Him as Lord of your life, then He will forgive you of your sins. Write your name down in the book of life, and one day when you die, it'll all be yours. It's simply by God's grace through faith that we're saved. They hadn't fought any Syrians. They hadn't bought any food, bread. They hadn't earned anything. Not one piece of silver that they had now that they do any work for. God gave them the blessings. And that's the way God is. If you will trust Him and put Him first in your life, I guarantee you, you'll be happy in Christ Jesus. You'll be happy. The soul winner that reports salvation, they said, we do not well if we sit here. and don't tell somebody about what we found. Let me tell you, he says, the most selfish person in the world, I believe, is a Christian who refuses to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Folks, there's people all out there. Do you love Jesus? I'm talking to the Christians now. Do you love Jesus? If you do, why don't you tell somebody about it? You see, I don't believe we can love somebody and not tell others about him. Did you catch that? I don't believe we can say, I love Jesus, if we never tell anybody about him. They were accountable to share what they had found. I heard one time Jay Strack, I don't know if y'all know Jay Strack or not, he had been over in Egypt, and he was going out with the camels and a rider out across the desert, and he says, you know, Jay, what the sin of the desert is? And he said, no, what is it? He said, to know where water is and not tell anybody about it. To know where water is and not tell anybody about it. You see, we commit that sin all the time, don't we? We know where the bread of life is. We know where the water is that bubbles up. You'll never go thirsty. It's in Christ Jesus. But I wonder how many of us commit the sin of the desert. We don't tell anybody about it. The sinner. I hadn't planned to put this on there, but let me just go back in the story and tell you. There was a man that leaned on the king's right arm. He was his right-hand man. When Elisha said that, let's see, where is that found at? Okay, verse 1 of 7. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and a measure of barley for a shekel, at the gate of Samaria. Remember, they're in a famine, a bad famine. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Let me tell you something. This man kind of laughed at old Elisha when he said, tomorrow God's going to open up windows of heaven, pour out a blessing upon this land. And he said, if he had windows in heaven, could this thing be? In other words, he said, I don't think he can. Even if he had windows in heaven. Let me tell you something. He was a pretty good nut, wasn't he? He didn't believe God had windows of heaven, and the Bible says, oh, yes, God has windows in heaven. And he opened up those windows in heaven and poured out the blessing through this four lepers. But this guy, rejected God's word. And he said, listen, you're going to see the blessing, but you're not going to taste of it. And if you read down in here, this man was trampled in the gate because of his unbelief. Folks, if you refuse God's word today in unbelief, you may spend the rest of eternity lost. You see, the only reason people die and go to hell is unbelief. They doubt God. They doubt what God can do. And the Bible says he received the wrath of God and never received any of the blessings of God. If you're here this morning and you don't know God, why don't you come to him? Young person, middle-aged, older, why don't you come this morning? You say, well, preacher, I don't know. I've lived a pretty good life. That's not going to get you into heaven. I go to church all the time. That's not going to get you into heaven. It's only when you come to Christ and give your life to Him. Put your faith in Him. Step out and come and receive the feast that He's got in store for you. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you come? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, would you come? If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ, but you haven't told anybody, you've committed the sin of the desert, would you come and just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I want to give my life to you fully and witness for you. Never know what God's going to do. That was 75 when I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. God called me to preach when I was 79 on a mission trip in North Dakota. My life has not been the same since. It's been a blessing. Would you come and see what God has for you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your blessings. I thank you, Lord, for this time that we might just think about what you have for us. And if there's a lost person here this morning, they don't know they're saved, would they simply by faith come out before it's too late? We give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand?